Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series of studies in Psalm 119. Today's study is entitled, God's Word and Depression. God's Word and Depression. We'll look at verses 25 to 32 of Psalm 119 today together. So let's turn to Psalm 119 in the Word of God, the King James Bible. And let's read down first together verses 25 to 32. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O God, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Psalm 119 deals with the Word of God as it relates to the human experience. In our text, the psalmist is expressing his depression. Notice his words in verse 25. He says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Amen. Compare that with what the psalmist says in Psalm 44 in verse number 25. Psalm 44, verse 25. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaveth unto the earth. So we see that the psalmist, he was really depressed. He was really down. Notice also his words in verse 28. He says, my soul melteth for heaviness. He was under a heavy burden. So heavy, He was experiencing an emotional meltdown. Amen. And sometimes today we call it a breakdown, an emotional breakdown. Notice what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 22, verse 14. He wrote, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted down in the midst of my bowels. Again, expressing depression, being really down. Amen. Let's compare that with what the Word of God has to say in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Look with me in Joshua chapter 7, in verses 5 and 6. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And of course, we see here, this is the account in Joshua chapter 7, where after that great victory in Joshua chapter 6, where they defeated Jericho by marching around the walls, amen, and the walls came tumbling down, that here they go. And out after Ai, not realizing there was sin in the camp, Achan had taken of the spoils that he was not supposed to, and as a result, Ai defeated Israel in that battle. And we see their emotional state after their defeat, did we not? As we read, "Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as waters." They were depressed. Amen. So what we see here are expressions of depression. Getting back to Psalm 119, notice the expression in verses 25 and 28, "according to thy word." In each of these conditions, amen, we see, in each of these conditions, in verse 25, where he said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust," and in verse 28, "My soul melteth for heaviness," we see in both of these conditions, God's word is the answer to mental depression. Amen. When we are distressed under a heavy burden, we get relief from the word of God. God's word not only quickens, but it also strengthens. Looking in verse 25 again, he says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." And then he asked God, quicken thou me, how? "According to thy word." And then in verse 28 he says, "My soul melteth for heaviness." He asked God, "Strengthen thou me, how? According unto thy word." So we see then that under these conditions expressed, amen, in verses 25 and 28, when we are distressed under a heavy burden, we get relief from the word of God. God's word not only quickens, but it also strengthens. In fact, Paul told the Ephesian elders, he said to them, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." The term nuclear meltdown came into use with two nuclear accidents, one at Three Mile Island and the other at Chernobyl. A nuclear reactor produces a nuclear chain reaction that creates intense heat. The heat is controlled by elaborate cooling systems, amen? These are backed up by emergency cooling systems. Water is a major part of many of these cooling systems. In Chernobyl, the engineers cut off the emergency core cooling system in preparation for a test, ignoring warnings and established procedure. One error led to another until a few hours later a genuine emergency existed. Superheated fuel particles came into direct contact with the cooling water and released a flash of steam. When engineers tried to bring the situation back under control, the heat in the core became so intense, the control rods would not go back in all the way. At 1:24 a.m., two explosions occurred, blowing the top off both the reactor and the building, and caused the servicing crane to come crashing down upon the reactor. You see, the heart is man's energy and power source. It is the seat of emotions and volition. The burdens placed upon the heart of great. But God has designed an elaborate cooling system, God's word. And in fact, God's word is often referred to as water in the scriptures. So you see, when you become burdened down by the cares of life, and you are disconnected from God's cooling system, then you will experience a spiritual meltdown. Remember when Elijah was depressed under the juniper tree? He needed to hear the still small voice of God. Now, the main part of our lesson, that was a bit of an introduction, but there are two main points that we'll cover verses 25 to 32 in Psalm 119. The first major point we'll look at is confession of our dilemma, which we'll look at in verses 25 to 28. Confession of our dilemma, that's the main point, number one. And number the second point we'll look at is confirmation of our decision. Confirmation of our decision, and we'll cover that point in verses 29 to 32. So let's look at point number one, confession of our dilemma. You see, we must declare our ways to God before we can declare His ways to the world. Look at, first of all, verse 25. We see, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. So, the Word of God tells us, we are dust. Amen? We are dust. Compare that what we read in Genesis chapter 2, when God created Adam, when God created man. Notice in Genesis chapter 2, what's being said here in verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Amen. So Adam, man, was created the dust of the ground from the earth. In fact, it's a known fact that we, the human being, the human body, contains all the elements that are found in the physical earth. Amen. Also compare it with what's being said in Psalm 103 in verse number 14. 103, verse number 14 with me. Notice, for he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. So that's our dilemma, first of all. The first thing we want to see under the confession of our dilemma is we are dust. That's our debility, amen? The second thing is, not only are we dust, but we're dead. We're dead. We need revival, amen. I long for a quickening, amen. Looking in verse 25, he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. He says, and quicken thou me according to thy word. We're dead. Amen. We need revival. Many of us are dead spiritually. We need to be quickened, made alive. In fact, we were told before we were saved, our spirit was dead. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, your dead spirit is quickened, made alive by the Holy Spirit of God, which comes and indwells in you. So we're looking at point number one, confession of our dilemma. We are dust. We are dead. Number three, we are dumb. Look at in verses 26 to 27. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. See, people cannot talk intelligently about something they don't understand. And that's what the psalmist is asking God, amen, to teach him, amen, to help him to understand. You know, for example, unless God shows it to you, you can't understand the wonder, number one, of a condescending love. In other words, the blood redemption. Neither can you stand the wonder of a conquering life as found in the bodily resurrection. Or neither can you understand or comprehend the wonder of a coming liberation, the blessed rapture. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 21, he says, the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. But without God showing us and helping us and teaching us, we can't comprehend. We can't understand these things. Amen. We can't talk intelligently about them unless God teaches us. So, point number one, confession of our dilemma. We saw that we are dust, we are dead, and we are dumb. So, before we can declare His ways to the world, we have to declare our ways to God. We have to recognize and tell Him, yes, God, we're dust, we're dumb, we're dead, and we're dumb. God, help us, teach us, help us to understand, so we can teach others, so we can declare Your ways to the world. Our second main point of our study here in the 119th Psalm, verses 25 to 32, is confirmation of our decision. Confirmation of our decision. And we see that in verses 29 to 32. A decision, we see a decision between two contrasting ways. Look at in verse 29. He says, "Remove me from the way of lying, and grant me Thy law graciously." Amen. So we see the way of lying. Amen. That's one contrast. The way of lying. And the way of lying is a way of life for the world that we live in and the news media. Amen. The news media, excuse me. The TV, the telephone, the TV, newspaper, the radio, amen. It's all slanted. Amen. It's not the truth. Most of it is lies to present things that are evil in a positive light. So we have the way of lying versus the way of truth. Verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. See, you must make a choice, my friend. The way of lying or the way of truth? God gives us a choice. We have free will. He doesn't hold a gun to our heads and say, if you don't choose this way, I'm going to pull the trigger. No. But you have to make a choice. The psalmist made a choice here, praise the Lord, the right choice. See? He says, remove from me the way of lying. I don't want anything to do with that. Bible talks about staying away from the evildoer. Don't, you know, get into party with him. Don't have company with him, amen. Don't consent to what he wants you to do, amen. But we see the psalmist says, I have chosen the way of truth. And that's God's way. Amen. Jesus said it as he prayed. Jesus' prayer to the Father. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. It's not Matthew 6, but John 17. For he prays to the Father. He says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the psalmist has chosen the way. He's chosen God's word, which is the right way. He's chosen God's precepts, God's testimonies, God's commandments, God's statutes, God's law. Then he says, we see in verse 31, he says, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. In other words, what he's saying here, he's not only chosen, but he's also committed. He's saying, I have chosen the way of truth, and I'm committed to it. We call it stick-to-itiveness. Amen. We read in verse 25, he said he is stuck to the dust. Amen. But now in verse 31, look at the difference. He stuck to God's word. See? He says, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. What a blessing. The question you need to ask yourself is, where will you stick? Where will you stick in your depression? Amen. Or God's word. Will you stay in your depression? Will you stick to your depression? Or will you stick to God's word to help you to get out of that depression? See, when you are stuck in the word of God, that's the best place to be stuck, amen? You will not be ashamed. Look at what Paul wrote Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to shew thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you'll study the word of God, then you won't be ashamed. Because when you study the word of God, you'll learn how to rightly divide the word of God, and you won't be ashamed. Praise the Lord. You know, this King James Bible is the only English translation where we find the command to study. All the other Bibles don't have that. You know why? Because I believe they're of the devil. And the devil certainly doesn't want you and I to be studying God's word and sticking to God's word, does he now? Amen. So we see, under point number 2, confirmation of our decision, we see the psalmist says, I have chosen the way of truth. He's made a choice, and we need to make that choice to stick to God's truth. I'm committed. Not only has he chosen, but he's made up his mind to stick to it. Amen. And then the third thing under our second point is this. I am continuing. I am continuing. Verse 32. He says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. See, he's continuing. He's running the race to the finish line. See, he's already learned. Hey, Ruddy. He's already walking. Because we see in that first verse of Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. He's learned to walk, and now he's needing to learn to run. And that's what you and I need to do, is run the race, the individual race that God has given us. Look at in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and of course I believe those witnesses he's speaking about is all those heroes of the faith in chapter 11, the preceding chapter. He says, let us lay aside every weight in the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, they're our example, amen. They ran the race to the finish line, amen. They finished their course. We're to put aside anything that would keep us down from running the race. Amen. Lay aside that sin that easily besets you. And remember, run it with patience. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's a long race to the finish line. So run it with patience. And then he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, he ran the race. He finished the course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He continued till the end. He finished. And praise the Lord for that. And then we're told, for consider him that endured such contradiction. Consider Christ and what he did. Such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You're getting ready to give up, quit, amen, not continue running the race. Consider what Christ did. He ran the race all the way to the end and finished. He finished his course. Amen. He said, Father, not my will, but thine will be done. That should be our attitude. Amen. Look at also what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 26. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, he runs, he's focused, he's not running aimlessly here and there and everywhere. He's focused, see? He knows where he's headed, he knows where he's going. Not like someone that's just beating the air, you know, like swatting flies aimlessly. And that's how we're to run the race. To continue, to be focused. Amen. And to someday cross that finish line. Praise the Lord. So we saw the two main points. Confession of our dilemma. We are dust. We are dead. We are dumb. Second point, we looked at confirmation of our decision. I am chosen. I have chosen the way of truth. I am committed. The psalmist is sticking to what he's chose, the way of truth. And I'm continuing. And we're to do the same. Now notice what he says in verse 32, the latter part of verse 32 in Psalm 119. He says, I will run the way of thy commandments. We've looked at that. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. See, a revived heart is an enlarged heart. In other words, a big-hearted person. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, we read, God gave Solomon wisdom, understanding, exceeding much, enlargedness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. An enlarged heart is a heart increasing and a passion for God. And a large heart is a heart increasing in a perception of God. And a large heart is a heart increasing and persuading others towards God. In fact, Paul had this big heart. He was a big-hearted person, amen? And he had a heart increasing and persuading others towards God, because he said to the Corinthians, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. See, he was persuading them towards God. Amen. To live for God. To do right. To live right. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. So that concludes our study today in Psalm 119.